Hey, we're back on Downtown here on a Tuesday afternoon. Rich Kimball aboard. Time for us to talk basketball as we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks. Have you begun to catch up on sleep yet?
Slowly. You know, getting into that same time zone. We're starting to get to that point, but you know, there's still a lot to be done, and you know, draft and free agency. So, you know, it doesn't stop, but I love it. So it works out for me.
Well, I know people are still disappointed at the way it all ended, but I think when you step back a little bit, you have to say this was an incredibly successful Celtics season.
Yeah, there's the ending was bitter. It really stings, and I know that people are looking at this as a potential missed opportunity, and we won't know for a while whether that's what this was or not. But when you pull back, like you said, 30,000 foot view, this team was never constructed to do this. It was never supposed to be there. They put it together, and there was a point in February and March where they thought, hey, well, why not? Well, maybe this could happen. But it was never the stated goal of the team. You know, like you come into a season and you know who the contenders are, and the Celtics were never that, but they became that, and that's kind of amazing. And they should be, ultimately, they should be celebrated for being that, you know, getting to that level.
So if you could credit one individual, who was the biggest difference maker in getting this team from what we thought might be a transitional year to an NBA championship contender?
Yeah, I'd have to go with Ime Udoka on that. He's the guy that got them on the same page. He's the one who said, this is how we're going to play. He held them accountable, sent them out there with the direction, and they bought into it. And once they bought into what he was selling, then they became who they were. And so, credit to the players for sure. I mean, obviously, I always want to credit the players for you have to go out there and do it. But once they followed Ime's direction, that's when things changed. So you have to start with him.
We're talking with John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal here on Downtown. So as we begin to look at the offseason, what's number one on the list of needs and priorities?
Yeah, I'm looking at bench scoring. When you look at the finals, I think people are pointing to turnovers and that, the missed shots at the rim, and I'm looking at the symptom. You know, what was that? Why was that? And I think if they had just had some better help off the bench, then they could have played Jason Tatum a little less, Jaylen Brown a little less, Marcus Smart a little less. And I think playing them five fewer minutes in these games would have been huge. Just give them five more minutes of rest on the bench. Then at the end, they would have been fresher. I think they would have been more prepared to finish. So some depth on the bench that both the team, the guys on the floor, and Ime can trust to put out there and hit a shot, make a play, you know, attack a closeout, and be reliable on both ends of the floor. So you definitely need to fill out that bench.
Now, not much out there in the draft for opportunities for the Celtics with the 53rd overall pick. Do you see them making any effort to move up? What do they do with number 53?
I don't see them moving up in the draft. I don't see them trying to get into the first round. That's not – this team is more – like they've crossed into veteran help mode. Like the help that they're going to get, the type of help that they need is going to come from proven veterans. So in the draft, I'm looking at potential draft and stash guys. I'm looking at somebody maybe in Europe that could use a couple of years of seasoning and could potentially help the Celtics in a year or two. Let him go develop over there and build up some skill, or somebody that you can stash and use as a trade chip. But I don't see the draft as the path to acquire to like pick up players to help the Celtics. I'm looking at the draft for the next few years as simply tradable picks that can help the Celtics acquire veteran help.
Obviously, injuries took their toll down the stretch. Robert Williams wasn't close to 100%, but I guess the good news is that Ime said these are injuries that just need time, not necessarily surgeries, to get better.
Yeah, everybody that was dealing with something for the Celtics is just going to need some rest, and that's the good news. You know, Rob, there was no further damage in the knee. There was no risk, really, of putting that, making it worse. It was just dealing with the pain and the inflammation and the swelling. So that's good news. He can get off his feet. Tatum can get off his feet. Jalen, Marcus, those guys just get off their feet and let these things, you know, rest and recover and get back for at 100%. The reason why the surgery, no surgery thing is important is because it doesn't rob anybody of off-season workout time. It doesn't put anybody behind coming into the season. Let these guys can go and take their four-week vacation at whatever tropical location they want to go and just relax. And then once you're back off vacation, you can get to work feeling healthier and refreshed, and you're not going to be behind when the next season starts.
John, do you see anybody in the core group, the starting group, maybe the first six, that may not be back next year?
I think of the first six, I think there's a potential for everyone to come back. But, I mean, obviously, there's some. I mean, what do we have? Marcus Smart, Derek White, if you're looking at the five and six. Because I think Horford comes back. Obviously, Tatum and Brown. Robert Williams isn't going anywhere. They value the length and versatility. Smart and Derek White would be your five and six. I don't see those guys going anywhere. I think what the Celtics emphasized, Brad Stevens spoke this morning, they're not looking to make moves that change the identity of this team. I think they're looking for internal improvement from a lot of these guys. And I don't think they're going to do something like trade away a Marcus Smart or a Derek White to accomplish whatever goal they're trying to accomplish. I don't think they're, you know, I've always said that if you're trading away Marcus Smart, you're using him to get a bigger star, and that $17 million that he's going to be paid next year is going to be part of like matching the salary for a $30 million guy. And, you know, he's defensive player of the year, so he's valuable to other teams. But I don't see something like that happening. I think the Celtics value their defensive identity very, very strongly. And I think there's no real appetite to go add a third star and blow up what they have. They're working on the periphery. They're working on the edges of the roster to try and support the core. I don't think they're trying to move any of the core. I think that top six, seven, eight, that all stays.
We know this team was built on strong defense, emphasis coming from Ime Udoka. Do we know yet, does he have the guys he wants for the type of offense he'd like to run?
Yeah, I mean, the offense is the interesting question. I think the Celtics' focus is on adding offense while maintaining the defense. What they don't want to do is become the Knicks and say, we need to add offense to our defensive team, and you go too far the other way, and you become mediocre. So I think what Ime is looking for and what Brad Stevens has loved is that 2016 Spurs, that beautiful game, ball movement, 0.5 basketball. I think that's what Ime has always wanted. I think that's what Brad Stevens for sure has always wanted. And now it's a matter of adding playmakers to the roster that can make that happen, the ball movers. And, you know, the Derek White types who get the ball and play defense and will make a play and break down a defense. But just try to find a couple more of those guys that are willing to do that work while also emphasizing to Smart and Brown and Tatum, that you can't get stagnant the way you did. Like, that's just not going to be how this team operates, that you have to move the ball, and that's how this team is going to be successful. So play your defense, get onto transition, move the ball, play kind of that egalitarian type of offense where just naturally Tatum and Brown will rise to the top because they're the best scorers. They'll find the holes in the defense. But it's just a matter of adding, you know, one or two guys on the perimeter that can catch the ball and make a quick decision and make the right decision.
Well, it was a great season indeed, but made even better by your terrific coverage, John. You're the best there is when it comes to talking basketball. We appreciate you being a part of our show every week. And as we know, there is no off season, so we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
That's it. Well, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate you having me on all this time for all these years. Thank you, man.
You got it. We'll see you next week. Thanks, John.